In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
The Patrick Madrid Show.
It deepens my faith. It gives me understanding. And I also appreciate the current events.
Good morning, Therese.
Don't ever stop talking about current events. I feel like between your show and Drew's show, I am so much better informed to make decisions about things and to pray on things.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 26, in verse 41. He says, to watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Now, obviously, they didn't have television or radio or newspapers in those days. But he still taught the people to watch the signs of the times, to be aware of what's going on. And he used examples. I don't think Jesus wants us to just ignore what's happening in the world and just talk about churchy things, because then we will be caught unaware. And he tells us to watch and pray.
At the intersection of faith and culture, The Patrick Madrid Show, 8 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You know, having that peace, that's going to be absolute confirmation that you have been following God's will, that you understood where God was calling you, you accepted that, you acted on it, and God will give you that peace.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, we kind of buy into things that we think are going to give us peace or joy or happiness. Paul talks about it in Colossians 2, 6 to 10. He's saying, no, be rooted in love, walk in him. See to it that no one captivates you with empty philosophy. So we could be what a friend had once called self-propelled Christians. So without God's love, it's almost like we're Fred Flintstone.
I guess it's kind of relaxing to know I'm at the wheel. Relaxing nothing. It's terrifying.
We're trying to push ourselves. God's like, you're being the protagonist. He says, let me do it. And when we do, you know, that peace is actually going to start to come up within us.
The Inner Life with Josh Raymond.
11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Get the facts, get the faith. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew, who is on vacation. The markets have just closed, the Dow finishing down 486 points. Your 401k is now more like a 275k, right? That's going in the wrong direction while inflation is sending everything up in the other direction. We'll make sense of the money and also where are the best places to put your money right now going long term with the perhaps future days of a recession ahead of us. We'll take a look at that coming up later this hour on the Drew Mariani Show. But right now, as you and I stand up for life, how would you like to be a part of the world's largest grassroots movement to end abortion? 40 Days for Life. You know 40 Days for Life. They have established a proven track record of saving lives and closing abortion clinics. 40 Days for Life begins next week on September 28th. It goes through November 6th. And this is where you and I, with our parish communities, you and I just with our families, can really outreach to not only the community, to those in need, and in a very peaceful way, stand up for life. We'll tell you how to do that. We'll give you all of the equipment to be a part of 40 Days for Life and join Catholics and Christians all around the world. Joining us this afternoon is Sean Carney, a familiar voice to you. He's the president and CEO of 40 Days for Life, online at 40daysforlife.org. Sean, welcome back to Relevant Radio.
It's good to be back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Blessed to talk to you. How do you think 40 Days for Life will, what will it be like this year post Roe versus Wade? I mention that only because they had the first pro-life march post Roe versus Wade in Philadelphia a few days ago, mobbed, thanks be to God. So what do you think 40 Days for Life is going to look like this year?
Yes, and one of our board members, Dr. Monique Ribeiro, spoke at that. It is high tide right now for 40 Days for Life because we're local. We're built for a post-Roe world. Because we're grassroots, we started preparing for this back in 2018 with the nomination of Kavanaugh. And we hit the ground running. It was awesome. Once Roe was overturned, we did the first post-Roe symposium, which was in early August, where we trained a record number of leaders, a lot of new leaders, over 200 new leaders, on how to end abortion where they live. We've seen really the lack of response from the abortion movement. We sort of had a couple of weeks of violence, and then all that just went away. We're the largest in blue pro-abortion state. You know, we've closed 117 abortion facilities, and half of those are in blue pro-abortion states where abortion is going to be legal forever. I mean, they're not going to end it legally, realistically. So, but we've closed abortion facilities in Los Angeles and Seattle and San Francisco and Chicago. So it's just been an absolute blessing. And until they get rid of the First Amendment, which they've never done and don't plan to do, we're going to be able to have our campaigns.
And as you know, Sean Carney, as the CEO of 40 Days for Life, and we've mentioned it so many times on Relevant Radio, but it bears repeating here that if in a way with clarity and charity you engage with someone who may be going into an abortion clinic, or even if they do see that peaceful protest in front of an abortion clinic, there is empirical evidence that that young woman changes her mind.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we know the former workers tell us that she may not even get there. You know, the no-show rate for an abortion appointment goes as high as 75% when people are out there praying. We launched, in part of our preparation for a post-Roe America, we launched 40 Days for Life University earlier this year, and we've had hundreds of people, over 1,000 actually, go through our sidewalk outreach training. That takes you A to Z in a very easy way. You really should be terrified, right, to talk to somebody who's going in for an abortion. It's not really a natural conversation.
No, it isn't.
Important. Yeah. It is the most important conversation in our culture. And so we take the terrified person and make them a pro in our sidewalk outreach training, which is at 40 Days for Life University. So we're in great shape. And all the listeners, I was on with John earlier this morning, all the listeners should know that the abortion industry, this is divine providence when Roe was overturned. Planned Parenthood has very weak leadership at the top. They typically don't, but they do currently. They're very weak at the grassroots. Morale for the abortion workers is at an all-time low. And yet this is now getting out of D.C., which unfortunately has been very generous to the abortion industry the last 25 years. It's getting out of D.C., and it's going to where the pro-life movement is the strongest with things. Of course, there's 3 Days for Life, but the huge network of that outnumber abortion providers 5-1. So the battle is sort of going to our home field advantage, and I believe that's why we'll see an end to abortion in decades to come.
Thanks be to God. We're going to hope for that. We pray for that. We've seen what our Memorare campaign here at Relevant Radio has done and continues to do, and that power of prayer, prayer, fasting, the constant vigil, the community outreach, so many ways that you can participate in 40 Days for Life. This year's 40 Days beginning on September 28th through November 6th, our conversation with Sean Carney, who's the president and CEO at 40 Days for Life. And the website is rich. It is filled with information to empower you and your family to do something to stand up for life, and that website is 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com. The constant vigil around the clock, abortion clinics, facilities for 40 days, and you know, that is certainly a commitment, but also, Sean, the commitment to prayer and fasting within the family is not only a great witness for your kids, but for others in your extended family as well, to say, you know, what we're doing for 40 days is we're standing up for a life. So it's a way to become the evangelist in your own family, because as we were talking about with the issues of abortion and California paying for abortion and putting some $20 million in their state budget to invite women to come, all expenses paid, to get an abortion, that conversation about life is going to start in our own kitchens. Because that's really and truly, and you've seen this, Sean, the grassroots efforts that we need to do as Roman Catholic men and women here in the United States to really overturn this culture of abortion.
Oh, absolutely. And prayer and fasting is not a talking point. It's the most important thing. I mean, it's insane sometimes that we have these conversations that we're talking about abortion and what it is and what it does and who it does it to. It's the greatest, most barbaric action that goes on in our country, and yet there's so much hope when we don't have a lot of hope in other cultural fronts. And so it does start at the kitchen table. It starts with our own family. We have 8 kids. We're very blessed, and praying with them and taking on a sacrifice in some kind of form of penance, not only for our sins, but the sins of the world, particularly the sin of abortion, which is the worst thing about abortion, is that it is first and foremost a sin. And so, you know, this is why we should be so encouraged. These goofball politicians in California saying we're going to pay for your abortion if you travel here. Nothing's more degrading to a woman than saying, hey, I'll give you money if you fly out here and I'll pay for your abortion, like some kind of a loser high school boyfriend. So, they think that they're empowering women. It's very condescending. It's very degrading. They're going to be shocked at how many women don't take them up on it. Distance is a huge deterrent. We know that from decades of research. So it does come down to hearts and minds, and that boils down to the prayer and the fasting and showing the true heart and mercy of Christ.
Sean Carney, president and CEO of 40 Days for Life. It begins coming up next week on September 28th. I'm curious, have you done a 40 Days for Life before in your parish community, in your family, in your community at large? What have you done if you've participated in previous 40 Days for Life campaigns? 888-914-9149, because your witness will inspire other Relevant Radio listeners, I think. 888-914-9149 right now on the Drew Mariani Show. What if you don't have an abortion facility or a Planned Parenthood office in your town and you still want to do something with 40 Days for Life? How can you be visible and do that, Sean?
Well, if you do not have a Planned Parenthood referral site, which is something we've been focusing on for 10 years, and it's very important in a post-Roe world, so we will have a large presence there, then you absolutely need to take a commitment to pray, to fast, and then get on our website and find a location, do a day trip. We have a lot of parishes that do that. We have a lot of groups that do that, that load up a bus or a van, and they travel to their closest abortion facility. And there's still a lot open. We're going to see a lot of transition geographically, but that's still going to be in the next year or so as the dust settles post-Roe. So I encourage you, I think the most important thing are the sacrifices. Whatever fast you can take on, whatever cold shower you can take, whatever little thing of penance you can do for 40 days on behalf of the unborn, this is having a ripple effect around the world. I just this morning met with our 40 Days for Life leaders from South Korea, who traveled over to our office this week. And just the enthusiasm that the overturning of Roe had in South Korea, where they have a very small and fragile pro-life movement. People are looking to America. So any sacrifice, any prayer you offer, obviously our Father in heaven appreciates that and will give you the graces to sustain those sacrifices. But it also has a ripple effect around the world.
Sean, how many lives have been saved since the first 40 Days for Life in 2007?
22,017 is of the most recent count. Wow. So we just crossed 22,000 that we know of.
And how many abortion centers got closed because of 40 Days for Life?
117, including what is now our headquarters in College Station.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. And you've had like a million volunteers. I mean, think about that.
Yes.
The powerful witness of a million volunteers, and you could be the million and first volunteer for 40 Days for Life starting next week. A million and one,
yeah,
right? You know, we always talk about the million and one shot. You're the million and one volunteer for 40 Days for Life, whatever it might be, of course, in your own family with prayer and fasting, or perhaps doing a vigil or a portion of a vigil in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic or an abortion facility in your community. So many ways to participate with 40 Days for Life beginning on the 28th. And you can go to 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to get many other resources. What are some of the most compelling stories that you have heard over the last now 15 years of doing 40 Days for Life, Sean?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think for me personally, it's the moms who have children with disabilities who are told by everybody under the sun to have an abortion, and that it's a responsible thing, and they get there and they courageously choose not to do that and raise their child with disabilities. And it's absolutely beautiful. I've met many of those children. And I think that shows that we cannot ultimately detach ourselves from natural law, which is that we can't really divorce a mother from her child and call it a choice or call it freedom or call it reproductive rights. Women are beautiful, loving creations, and it is in their nature to protect their children and love their children. And you've got to lie a lot. You've got to give them a lot of fear and despair. That's how abortion survives, in order to get them to have an abortion. But there are those moments where their nature kicks in and they defend life in the most extreme circumstances, when everybody says they're better off having an abortion. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see. And it happens a lot, where women are counseled to have an abortion because supposedly their child has some kind of a disability, and they don't care, or they get over it and they say, you know, I'm going to love him or her anyways. And that is what this movement is built on, is love.
And we're the apostles of today. We're called to just simply share our faith. And this is one of the ways that you can do that, through participating with 40 Days for Life. And again, Sean, we should emphasize that if you do choose to go and peacefully demonstrate in front of an abortion facility or a Planned Parenthood facility, you're not going to be sent out there. You're not just going to be thrown out there. You'll be trained in how to do that, what to say. And again, with clarity and charity, if you come in contact with someone who may be going in to keep an appointment, that could be a life that gets saved because of what you said. But you'll equip them for that.
Absolutely. And the people that want to be equipped will certainly be equipped. And most people start off, those 1 million volunteers, they just go. And I think that's a comforting thing, is like, hey, I don't have to talk to anybody. You know, there's other people that are trained who can reach out to the women. I'm just going to sit here silently and pray. That's how most people first get involved with 40 Days for Life. And that's why the majority of the vigils are covered. Of course, we have trained people, you know, in sidewalk outreach, but we also have many, many more. The majority are just sitting there in silent prayer with their rosaries or a Bible or some kind of meditation. And that is so powerful, because, like I said, the former workers tell us that 75% of the people don't show up for their abortion appointment if you're out there. So there's plenty of motivation.
You can save a life. 40 Days for Life, beginning on September 28th, next week through November 6th. All the resources online at 40daysforlife.com. That's the number, 40daysforlife.com. Sean Carney is the president and CEO of 40 Days for Life. Always good to have you on. Again, the website, 40daysforlife.org. And I'm sure we'll be catching up all during the 40 days. Glad to amplify your voice and help you out here at Relevant Radio. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
With another drop in the stock market, with interest rates going up, how to protect your 401k will give you the solutions. Coming up next on The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is The Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower. Your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John in for Drew this afternoon, who's on vacation here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We're going to give you some solutions to kind of navigate around these tricky times with the stock market going up and down and what to do to kind of combat inflation right now to just simply save more and spend less. But we were just talking about 40 Days for Life. If you've just joined us, 40 Days for Life begins next week on the 28th, and it goes through November 6th. And there are so many resources, from prayer and fasting within your own family to peaceful vigils around the clock for 40 days in front of abortion facilities, and so many other things that you can do as a family, as an individual, as a parish community, as a community at large. The website is 40daysforlife.com. But I just want to talk to Janice very quickly before we start talking about your money, because Janice, tell us about your experience with 40 Days for Life. It'll be a powerful witness for our other Relevant Radio listeners. Good afternoon.
Hi. A few years back, my first time to do the praying in front of abortion center, we were able to save a baby for a girl who was 16 years old and was also, her mother had her from a rape. And it was an overwhelming experience. That's all I can say. And I wear my shirt every Friday, 40 Days for Life.
That's great. And I'm glad you're an apostle for 40 Days for Life. And I know that shirt alone is planting the seeds of the Holy Spirit in someone who will participate this year in 40 Days for Life and perhaps have that miracle of saving a life as you did. Janice, thank you. God bless you. We'll pray for you. And thank you for your commitment to 40 Days for Life. 888-914-9149. Thanks so much. Let's talk about your money right now. The Dow closed down 486 points. Dow at 29,000. 29,590. We got so used to it being over 30,000. So what do you do, especially when the Fed Reserve chairman said just a couple of days ago, well, you know what? His words, don't think we're going to have a soft landing here, meaning a recession. It's almost like they were rooting for unemployment to go up and for you and me to lose our jobs. Well, I lost mine. But if, you know, you want to, it's like, it doesn't make sense. It's really head scratching. Chris Temple is going to help us through all of this stuff. He is the editor and publisher of The National Investor, which you can find online at nationalinvestor.com. Hi, Chris. Welcome back.
John, good afternoon.
How come we never talk when we're making money? I don't know why. We only meet under these circumstances.
Yeah, we are hooked on sensationalism and bad news and all kinds of things. And it is bad news. And when you understand what the Fed is up to right now, this is kind of like a drunk driver who veers off to the driver's side of the road and bangs across the guardrail. And when he finally realizes he's overdone at that side, instead of getting back to the middle of the road, he veers straight across and starts banging into the other guardrail.
Yeah.
That's what the Fed has done for about a year and a half to 2 years' time. We saw unprecedented money creation, reinflated bubbles everywhere, provided more distortions to the markets and to pricing. And now the Fed, in one fell swoop, wants to try and undo that mess of its own making. And there's going to be a lot of pain. I mean, the Fed chairman has been uncharacteristically blunt for him to tell us that, yes, there's going to be some pain. Yes, there's going to be some hurt. He used every word but recession this last week when he gave his press conference after their third successive 0.75-point interest rate hike. So, you know, it's not going to be a pretty thing. Unfortunately, we live in a world where we don't live by common sense generally in Catholic economics and social teaching specifically when it comes to money and how you're supposed to run these things. We have this false binary choice. Either we have hot inflation or the Fed crashes a lot of things to bring that inflation under control. It's a Hobson's choice we shouldn't have to live with, but we do in our world.
And we should also mention that recessions and inflation, when you look at history, they're agnostic. It's happened when administrations have been Democratic. It's happened when administrations have been Republicans. Democrats have straightened it out. Republicans have straightened it out. It just seems to be cyclical. And we're going through another one of those cycles right now. And of course, the timing not so good if you're the party in power with 7 weeks to go before a midterm election. And yes, Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman, was uncharacteristically blunt. I kind of did a double take, and I'm saying, wait a minute, is he rooting for people to lose their jobs? Did it strike you as somewhat oddly worded when he got out in front of reporters a couple of days ago?
Well, I don't know if I'd say oddly worded, John. The fact is that for 40 years, academics who are concerned, as you and I and our listeners are, about Joe Sixpack and Sally Soccer Mom and the average family and how they're all doing, they tried for 40 years to get the Fed to throw away what's called the Phillips curve, which is one of the academic exercises that suggests that the better the economy is, the worse it is, in a strange way, because the Fed has to always take away the punch bowl. The Fed has to keep things from getting too good so inflation doesn't get out of hand. Finally, just in the last couple of 3 years, since Powell has been chairman of the Fed, they came out and said, you know what, maybe we don't have to have this formula anymore. Maybe the Phillips curve is done away with because things have changed so much in society, the nature of the labor force and all of these things. And so we were led to believe for a while that the Fed would not react to good times for workers, where we've had a very, very low unemployment rate recently. Wages have started going up in the last couple of 3 years, but they still don't keep up with the higher rate of inflation right now. And all at once, the Fed has aggressively re-embraced the Phillips curve again. And yeah, it's wrong-headed. It's not the kind of society we should have, but it's one that we do have when the be-all and end-all is to protect this fractional reserve banking system we have and make sure the Fed is the one that wins in the end, so to speak.
Chris Temple is with us, and we're making sense of another drop in the stock market, closing below 30,000 today at a little over 29,000 points. It dropped some 486 points. It's just been one drop after another, and we have been on such a roller coaster here economically, you know, over the last few weeks that not even a steady drip of Dramamine would fix that. Chris Temple is the editor and the publisher of The National Investor online at nationalinvestor.com. May I ask a dumb question? Because there I was in junior economics at St. Basil's Prep back in the day, and Father Fedorchuk was teaching us about all these things we're talking about, and I was daydreaming about being on the radio. So I don't know the answer to this question. So let me ask you, how do you slow an economy by making housing and other things that would grow in value more expensive? Mortgage rates are going up. What's the correlation between raising interest rates and slowing down the economy when it's hurting all of us, especially at this time when we've got a war and an inflation and very different than other recessionary times in our history?
This is very different. And in a lot of ways, John, the takeaway that people should have today is that we have never lived, any of us, under the circumstances we see today, where the geopolitical balance is shifting. A lot of power and money has been moving from west to east. We've got Russia and a proxy war there. Before you know it, we're going to be in a proxy war with China over Taiwan. It's going to be even more serious economically and really expose the soft underbelly of the U.S. even more when it comes to chips, when it comes to rare earths and a lot of things that we're dependent on China for. But the problem we have right now, you know, there's a word that has been slowly coming back in recent months called stagflation, which we last used in the late 70s and the early 80s. And the average household is going to have the worst of both worlds in the months, and I'm sorry to say probably the years ahead, barring some miraculous nearly change in attitude and policy. At the same time that living costs are going to remain elevated, there's a lot of structural things in place that tell me that barring a global depression that undermines growth and everything for at least a spell, we're not going back to 2% inflation, which is the Fed's ostensible target. You know, everything's going to stay elevated. So for the things you need to spend money on to live, the prices are going to continue to stay high. Maybe we flutter back down to 5 or 6% and plateau there, which is still a problem. I mean, Nixon, when he was president, imposed wage and price controls over 4% inflation. So at the same time, living costs are going up. Part of the average person's ability in our present-day system to pay for those things is the so-called wealth effect, where if your stock portfolio and your house are going up in price, they become like an ATM machine, especially your house. Well, now the Fed is dead set to the notion to bring real estate back down. It never should have got as stupid as it did in the first place the last 2 years, but that's the drunk driver of the Fed going from one side to the other. So the things that matter that would help the average household will be deflating somewhat. I don't think we're going to see the crash in real estate that we did in 2008, where it's not the same real estate market today. But you're certainly not going to see prices continue to go up. They've started rolling over in some areas. But let me throw a curveball. And just before you and I got on here, I was listening to a guest on CNBC who I think was remarkable to me that there's anybody saying this. I've been saying this for a while, and a couple others have. But the policymakers in Washington need to get on the same page and realize that if we dealt with the supply issues of things, a lot of this inflation problem would take care of itself. The Fed's got a blunt instrument, you know, and for the Fed, the old saying is when everything, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And sometimes by its own admission, it can't do a lot about rising prices. It exacerbated the problem by printing so much money. But look at energy. You know, we've got an administration that has hurt both the traditional fossil fuel industry as far as future supply availability and even the green economy that it claims to want, because prices, lithium, when we see all these other prices coming down, it is almost at an all-time high again. And part of the reason being with that, with copper and so many things, that this administration won't allow development of a lot of this within our own four walls. So to get to the place where we have this green transition, there's more electric vehicles on the road, we reduce carbon and on and on and on, we need more supply of things. And this is a policy matter. So when we have so many bottlenecks, when we have so many policy decisions that on energy and food, you know, part of the world is already in a food crisis again. Right. We're going to feel some of that. We're better off than most, thankfully for us. But we need to get adults back in the room who realize that monetary policy and it being such a blunt instrument is not what we need to rely on, because we have these booms and busts incessantly. And we have had for 40 years. They get worse each time. We don't know where this one's going to end. But I think a lot of the inflation situation, and to your original question of supply, I think there's a lot of policy things that could be done to make sure that we have the greater supplies of things that we need. And on that particular score, I mean, Washington is part AWOL and part has actually hurt the cause.
Chris Temple, as we look at money and this financial roller coaster that we've been on for the last several weeks, how much of this is our own doing, painting ourselves in the corner, starting with the stimulus checks that came out at the beginning of COVID-19 in the Trump administration, and then with more checks through Mr. Biden's American Rescue Plan, where we just flooded the market with cash, and we kind of got used to the government sending us free checks. It was better than the Ed McMahon junk mail. These were real checks. These were real checks that you could cash and use. So
right.
How much
everybody was a winner?
Exactly. So didn't we paint ourselves into a corner here with all of the flooding the United States with cash?
Well, of course we did, and mostly because it was such non-productive money. I mean, you didn't expand the supply of anything. You didn't build housing in new parts of the country, where if you increase the amount of housing, you would actually bring rents down. There are ways in which central authorities can spend money, maybe even go into debt, and do it in a way that's going to help society and bring prices down. We all know we have chronic housing shortages of affordable housing, especially in many parts of this country. and it's why rents are high and so forth. So certainly, whether the Fed did it or Trump did it and then Biden did it with these stimulus checks, what all you're doing is throwing money out there. You're just exacerbating the problem. We need to have a Marshall Plan type of game plan in this country where we say, okay, we know that we're behind the eight ball. We know that we've got to get off reliance on bad actors in other countries for a lot of the things that we need. And if we're serious about all that, if we're serious about the green transition and all these things, we need to take this no less seriously than the Marshall Plan at the end of World War II, the space program that Kennedy envisioned and launched, and make sure we figure out a way that the next X number trillion dollars, which are inevitably going to come, let's at least find a productive way to do it where it goes directly into infrastructure, into affordable housing, into helping, not hurting, our energy supplies in this country.
Common sense advice.
We'd be better off.
Yep, common sense advice about our money and saving more, spending less. Chris Temple, the publisher of The National Investor at nationalinvestor.com, 888-914-9149. What does your 401k look like today with the Dow going below 30,000? 888-914-9149. And your questions as we continue on The Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
It's the roller coaster ride we didn't buy a ticket for. It's called the economy, and you and I are on that ride right now with the Dow going up and down. John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. We're trying to make sense of that for you with Chris Temple, the editor and publisher of The National Investor, which you can find online at nationalinvestor.com. The website is nationalinvestor.com. And helping you navigate some of these choppy waters, we have Fed chairman saying, you know, we're going to try for a soft landing, but probably not, which is code for, hey, look, we may go into a recession in 2023, and a lot of dominoes are going to fall, and we're trying to help you get around some of those dominoes that might fall. We pray that they don't, but they might, so we're preparing you right now at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I hear the commercials back on the radio for put your money in gold, put your money in this, put your money in, you know, whatever. I only have enough money to put into tin or aluminum, but is that a place? Is that a safe shelter in times like this?
Gold and silver have done relatively, and I'm saying underline relatively, John, less bad in 2022 than have stocks and a lot of other things. Part of that recently is that there's been just a little bit of a fear trade, although most of the fear trade has gone into people piling into the U.S. dollar, which has been screaming higher. Gold and silver are good to be accumulating right now, but you're really not going to see them take off until we have the same set of circumstances we did in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, when the Fed is forced to slow down or stop, let alone reverse its tightening, but the economy is still so broken that all of the new or renewed inflation that goes out there won't have much traction in the Main Street economy, but will go disproportionately into gold. You know, from the immediate aftermath of the crash in 2008, gold tripled in less than 3 years' time. Yeah. Silver went up fivefold in that same time frame. And it was because, not that the Fed wasn't printing gobs of money, it was, but that, correctly so, for a while, investors saw that that was going to do little to help the economy. All it was going to do was to eventually reignite more inflation, and so people piled into that. And interestingly, gold and silver peaked back then in 2011, and the stocks in those sectors haven't been back at the same level since.
Right.
Those metals peaked when the Fed's monetary reflation of things did start having more traction in the stock market and the economy and so forth. So, you know, we've seen the beginning of the end of the downturn, I think, for gold and silver. Other things are going to be dicier. But one of the really interesting things and challenging things as an investor and consumer both today is that we have chronic shortages going forward of so many things. So that even if the economy does slow down, and this is why I made that stagflation reference in an earlier segment, we're going to have chronically high prices for years for a lot of things that we're in short supply of. There's not nearly enough copper in the world to build infrastructure for developing nations, let alone to provide what's needed for the energy transition. You can say it about lithium. You can say it about uranium. Mm. You can say it about even oil and gas.
Sure.
Because of largely the policies of this current administration. So it's going to be a really treacherous time going forward. Gold and silver will lead us out of wherever the bottom ends up being with what Powell is doing now. But I think unlike the time before, a lot of commodities are going to be a lot stronger. You know, a lot of people for years have said that financial assets have obscenely outperformed real tangible assets for a long time. There's been a lot of reasons for that. But finally, I think the next cycle I see coming, and it's for economic reasons and it's for geopolitical reasons, John, we're finally going to see is a basket commodities have an extensive period of outperformance where the traditional stock market is going to, in relative terms, languish.
It is in Schaumburg, Illinois. Money Advice with Chris Temple, editor and publisher of The National Investor. Hi, Edie. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm on my Bluetooth in my car, so I hope you can hear me okay.
Yep. Go ahead, Edie.
Pardon me?
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. My question is this. I'm going to be 69 years old, and I'm a widow. I am still working, and I was hoping to retire, but my investments were doing well when we had the previous administration, but as you know, everybody's suffering from it now, and I was wondering, before I retire, if it would be wise for me to move some of my investments back into the bank, into a CD.
Well, look. Hindsight's always 20/20, Edie. And a year ago, I think that there were some signs that we were going to start having trouble for equities when the Fed finally decided to switch gears. That should have been a sign for a lot of people to cut back on risk assets. That said, and of course, you should seek individualized investment advice. I'm speaking in general terms right now, but one of the things that this downturn in the stock market has done is a lot of stocks that deserve to come down that had sky high valuations have come down. They're probably going to come down more, but as always happens when you have a bear market, which of course we're in, is that a lot of really good stocks come down as well. You've got companies in healthcare, in pipelines, in the nuts and bolts of the energy industry, in real estate, with yields anywhere from 5 to 10% right now. These are good, solid companies that provide services that aren't going to go away. So one of the suggestions I might make is that, don't get out of the market wholesale. Maybe that should have been done a year ago, but look to reposition things that you might have right now that aren't going to do well. And ask yourself the question, even more in general terms than that, Edie, going forward, how are people going to distinguish between wants and needs? And generally, with the stagflation we're going to have and the tougher times we're going to have perhaps for some years to come, invest in needs, not in wants.
Edie, I'm hopeful that helps. Thanks for the call, 888-914-9149 with Chris Temple. Doc is joining us in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Doc. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi there. Enjoying the conversation. I have a question about two things. One, the government has distributed billions to various things through COVID relief that has not been spent yet. What would be the effect going forward of that? And the other one, what about waste, fraud, and abuse? For instance, right over the state line in Kansas, they gave out $450 million in improper unemployment during the pandemic.
Doc, with all due respect, those two things in the grand scheme of things are probably a drop in the bucket when it comes to dollars and cents. You remember, I'm sure, the Grace Commission that President Reagan put in place when he was elected. The ostensible reason for that was to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, try and do something about the federal budget. In the 8 years he was in office, the federal budget increased sevenfold, and spending went up every single year. So the whole system in Washington is broken. And frankly, this is part of the reason why I always harp on Catholic economics and monetary teachings and things like that. The Fed is the reason for this. The Fed enables this. Every now and then when he's called on the carpet over this in a congressional hearing or something, Powell will say, oh, well, we're independent. No, you're not, because you're enabling this. If you didn't create all of this money as a first matter, the government wouldn't be able to spend it and appropriate it because the markets would rebel against it. So they've enabled this. And until we get to a place where we've got to regain the culture that we pay as we go, we pay for our bills. When debt is taken on, it's for investment, as we said in the earlier segment, and not just a handout to buy votes with and stuff like that, then we'll be all right. But, you know, the government at most state levels, and certainly at the federal level, has no interest in behaving properly. They're not required to.
Let's see where we go next week. We've got the weekend to recover and just kind of relax as the stock market continues to go up and down. And we watch your money and, of course, give you the perspective with the professionalism of Chris Temple, the editor and publisher of The National Investor. Check that out at nationalinvestor.com. Chris, thank you.
John, my pleasure.
John Harper for Drew Mariani on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.